Today is Trinity Sunday, that day in the liturgical year that is dedicated to the idea that God is three in one. Often when I hear God referred to as the three-in-one God, I remember that three-in-one oil that my grandmother used to keep on the shelf. It was called three-in-one because it had three ingredients in it and could be used for three purposes. It could be used for lubricating, penetrating, and cleansing. Best of all, it had a spout on it, and you could put that oil just where you needed it to go, no mess. Well, my grandfather was a mechanic, an auto mechanic, actually, and he believed in using that oil liberally, much to my grandmother's chagrin. Well, I'm sure it does not come as a surprise when I say that that is not what the idea of the three-in-one God is all about. Actually, the word Trinity is usually used to describe God, Trinity meaning the God in three persons. God is described as a Trinity, and I imagine that the way most of us deal with that is that we focus on one person of the Trinity at a time. We focus on God, or Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. But Jesus would have us understand that one of those persons is never around without the other two. The three persons of the Trinity are always present together. In today's sermon text, Jesus mentions all three persons as he talks to Nicodemus about what it means to be born again. It is a subtle reference to the Trinitarian nature of God. And if we listen carefully, we can hear Jesus talking about himself as we. Listen to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Like many other people of his day, and our own day, Nicodemus struggled to understand how Jesus is related to God. The nature of Jesus was a source of much debate and even some bloodshed in the early centuries of the Christian church. They were deeply divided according to what was Jesus' nature. There were serious arguments about whether Jesus was created by God or whether Jesus was the Son of God and therefore had God's divinity, God himself in him, along with humanity. It was not until the Nicene Creed was agreed upon in the 4th century that this debate got resolved, at least officially from a theological point of view. But many people still, even in our time, have difficulty understanding that Jesus was not only human, but that Jesus was both human and divine. He really was God in human form. Nicodemus struggled to understand just like we do. He was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. As a Pharisee, he had been highly schooled in the Jewish faith, especially the Jewish law. And as a member of the Sanhedrin, he was a ruler of the Hebrew people. To understand Sanhedrin, imagine it as our session, only much, much bigger and with much more power over life, not only in the church, but outside the church as well. Jesus seemed to think that of all people, Nicodemus, with his training and his responsibilities, should be able to understand about the Trinitarian nature of God. But Nicodemus couldn't grasp that concept. Like the other Pharisees, he could see Jesus only as a human prophet and teacher. He could see Jesus' humanity, but not Jesus' divinity. God was with Jesus, but not in Jesus. Nicodemus could accept that God worked through Jesus, but not that it was God himself working the miracles in the form of a human person. And he certainly could not understand the bit about needing to be born of the Spirit himself. Nicodemus had trouble comprehending beyond the physical dimension of life. He couldn't grasp the spirit dimension. So Jesus began teaching him that there is a spiritual dimension to human life. He likened it to the wind, which has no physical presence, and yet we can see its effects and we can hear it. Jesus taught Nicodemus that he not only had physical being, but he also had a spirit. Jesus was trying to help Nicodemus understand the Trinitarian nature of God by understanding his own three-dimensional makeup as a human being. We humans still struggle to understand that we are created to live a three-dimensional life, that we are not just a physical body and a psychological mind, but that we also have spirit. The discussion Jesus had with Nicodemus echoes down through the centuries to our own time, and as we overhear that conversation, we begin to realize Jesus is telling us the same thing, that we too have a spirit. And in order to be fully human, as we were created to be, we are to live in that three-dimensional life, body, mind, and spirit. In the creation story, we learn that God created human beings in God's own image. Jesus explained to Nicodemus what that means. And if we begin to get a glimmer of what it means to see ourselves as being three-dimensional human beings, we may also begin to get an idea, just faintly, of what it means to say that God has three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's explore briefly what it means to be created with a body, mind, and a spirit. When we are physically born, we enter the world with a physical body that has all its parts. They need to grow and mature, but at birth, all of our physical parts are present. Arguably, the human psyche is present in potential at birth more than it is there actually. And we see the psyche beginning to become actual as the baby bonds with its parents, begins to know the difference between parents and other people. And then as the baby begins to smile when mom or dad walk up, we know that that baby's psyche is growing, and our psyche continues to grow throughout our lives. The spirit dimension of life must also be born. It must come into being as the part of us given to us by the Spirit of God. Our spirit receives life from God. It also receives wisdom and truth from God. Spirit relates to the non-material character of God, just like mind and psyche relate to the material physical presence of other human beings and all the natural phenomena. We do not create spirit. We do not acquire it through study or through practicing different faith disciplines, although both of those can prepare us and make us ready to receive the Spirit. That is what Jesus is getting at in his conversation with Nicodemus. It may be a bit of an oversimplification, but we can think of it like this. We get our minds and our bodies from our parents. We get our spirit from God. We get our minds and our bodies from our parents and our spirit from God. All this brings us to the matter of how we understand God as a Trinity. Some people find it helpful to think of what God does to help understand the Trinity. For example, God the Father is our Creator. Jesus the Son is our Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is our sustainer. There is no exact parallel between the Trinitarian nature of God and the three-dimensional nature of human beings. We can never fully comprehend the Trinitarian nature of God. Our spirits understand because they experience the mystery of God, but our spirits experience, our little minds can never fully comprehend what that mystery really means. Throughout Scripture, it is clear that God created human beings to be in relationship with God. And it is through the human spirit born of God that we encounter the reality of the living God and begin to develop a relationship with God. Those encounters that we have with God deepen our spirit and help it grow. Our relationship with God deepens as a result of that growth. Encounters with God take many forms. Probably the most common is the connection we have with God as we experience prayer. Another common encounter is that through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We may also feel God's nudges, those feelings or sensations that God is calling us to a certain task, mission, or ministry. When it is God doing the nudging, we can try to reject the call, to walk away from it. We can try to say no to God, but it doesn't work. God is in the nudges. Sometimes we experience the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as we read something in Scripture or hear something in a sermon and suddenly grasp the meaning. God has imparted a bit of wisdom or a bit of truth within our spirit that helps us understand the meaning of our life, of a life experience, or even a call to a task, a mission, or a ministry. There are many ways that our spirits encounter God. Some take us into a more mystical realm, as we will find out next week as we hear about Samuel's call from God to be a prophet. The lesson we get from the conversation we overheard today between Jesus and Nicodemus is that God is Trinitarian by nature and that we are three-dimensional by nature. The spirit dimension being the one through which we have direct encounters with God. Through the spirit dimension, we encounter not only God, though, we also connect to each other through that dimension. We experience that connection as we are spiritually present with each other as we pray on Sunday morning, as we are gathered here and we pray for those who have asked for prayer. We experience that spiritual connection with each other as we share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And we are reminded together of our own baptism and of our own engrafting into God as we witness the baptism of another person. The wind does blow where it will, and the Spirit does as well. The Holy Spirit seeks human beings to bring to birth the Spirit within them. That birth completes our creation in the image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It does not make us more holy in a holier-than-thou sense, but it makes us more complete as human beings, as God intended. So as we listen to Jesus' words to Nicodemus, let us look to the Holy Spirit, not only to give our spirits life, but to nourish and sustain our spirits throughout our lives. Amen.